5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, May 3rd, 2007. It's about 6:31 Central Time in the United States. Folks, Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal, and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. It's time for us to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. Let me take off our bumper song. Good morning. During this live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That'll be between 6:30, well, 6:32 and 7 o'clock this morning on Thursday, May 3rd. Otherwise, if you are listening to a rebroadcast from our archives, please dial area code 903-551-2186, and you may leave a voicemail there, voice message. We will get back to you either via telephone, via email, or we will answer your question during our next broadcast. Otherwise, please send out your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com, and that's comments@libertytalkradio.com, and we'll try to respond to your questions during our next broadcast. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated. And there's an excellent website. Go to my friend Andy's website. It's mytwocentsonline.com. That's my two. And the two is a Roman, is a numerical two, mytwocentsonline.com. He articulates in writing, and he has his own blog as well from Blog Talk Radio, articulates very well many of the principles that we discuss here on Liberty Talk Radio. And I think you'll find it educational and very, very interesting. Well, good morning, everyone. Today we have a full boat. We have several things we want to discuss, and they all center around your rights. And I shouldn't say your rights so much, because rights are, you have some natural rights. So we're talking about our freedoms and our liberties, and those rights which are taken away, I should say. Our rights are taken away. They're not given to us, but they are taken away. We're going to talk about our freedom and our liberty, and something that Americans no longer understand. If we were back in the 1920s and we had the same broadcast, we would have a better appreciation for what this program is all about. That sounds kind of strange, but that's exactly what is happening to our world. We are becoming a collectivist organism, a collectivist nation, collectivist universe, and as a result, we are all losing our rights and our freedom and our liberty. It was my birthday last week, 64 years old. I cannot believe it, but I got a cute card that I thought that everyone would enjoy. It's only a few words. There's a very rough drawing of a TV announcer, very, very rough sketch, TV announcer, and he says, "Our top story tonight, everything everywhere sucks. More after this." Well, you know, that's exactly the way I feel. I was speaking to a fellow that I know who happens to be a PhD in economics at Northeast State University, sharp guy. He's written some excellent articles, been published in the Freeman Magazine and the American Institute of Economic Research on our monetary system. Have great respect for him. And I said, I don't know what's the matter with me. The more I read, the more depressed I get. I should stop reading this. Maybe go to, fiction, you know, fun fiction novels or something like that, because I don't find much that I can read and say, well, geez, I feel good about that. We're right on, right on. And he looked at me and said, yep, everything sucks, doesn't it? So he was right into my birthday card. And I do find it somewhat depressing. So I guess I think I have this radio program so I can vent a little bit so I can get back to my reading again. Right? I want to just for a second, before we get into the main part of our program, there's two points I want to make. And I make these points only so people can have an appreciation for what, when we say our freedom and our liberty, we talk so loosely about that, we do not understand what that means. And I'll give you two examples, and I find this to be the most frustrating aspect of what I do. We had Linda Gray Murphy from the Working Families Project, and I'd love to have her back. I mean, she's a wonderful lady. She's doing some really good work. Her heart's in the right place, and I commend her. And I don't mean that, that's not lip service. I sincerely mean that. But Linda is in the same boat as so many people in the United States. It's all this sounds good, feel good stuff that we say that makes things better. In our own perception, that makes things better. Now, what could she have possibly said that makes things better? Well, she was talking about affordable housing. She was talking about universal health care. She was talking about the minimum wage. And I am concerned a little bit about that because I have a problem when people talk collectivism, as you know. Now, you know, I get criticized because I don't discuss current issues. I don't take what's happening with Karl Rove's, what's happening with Cheney, what's happening with the war in Iraq, because to me, that's all noise. I mean, it just deflects our attention to areas of minuscule significance when the broader picture is what we should be looking at, and that is what is happening to us, but why it's happening to us. We all know that Cheney is involved in things that we don't even want to know about. We know the Bush administration has real problems and is in Iraq for reasons other than weapons of mass, and we can go on in ignoring him. We don't want to do that here. We don't want to repeat what's on the Drudge Report, what you hear on Glenn Beck, et cetera, or, of course, Rush Limbaugh. But what we want to do here is we want to talk about principles of liberty and freedom so people understand. Now, I want to have Linda on the program. I'm going to ask her an opening question, and that opening question will be, Linda, when did you become a communist? Now, she will fall off her chair when I ask her that question. She would be, in fact, insulted. She may even hang up on me. How dare I accuse her of being a communist? But when she espouses, and again, she's not doing this out of meanness of her heart because she wants to see a government control over anything, but she doesn't recognize that when the government takes control of the healthcare system, when government takes control of housing, when government takes control of how much people get paid, hey, welcome to Stalingrad. They don't understand that. It sounds good. It always sounds good. Libertarian principles never sound good. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening between 6:30 and 7 o'clock this morning, this is Thursday, May 3rd, please call in 646-652-4620. I know it's early in the morning, but if there's someone alive and kicking, please call in and argue with me or agree with me. I don't care, but please do call in at 646-652-4620. This is Liberty Talk Radio, and I rarely do a station break of identification, which I should do more often. All right, I've done it. Now, if you're listening to a rebroadcast, please call in 903-551-2186 and leave a voice message. We will respond to your comments over the air during our next broadcast, Thursday broadcast. Most likely, we won't do it on Sunday because we have interviews at that time. Which reminds me, this Sunday, we may have Daniel Imperato come back for an interview. He has turned libertarian. Shocked the heck out of me. We interviewed him a couple of months ago. He was no more libertarian than my friend Linda Murphy was. I've got to hear what he did. He went through an epiphany. Should be interesting. I hope we can get him this Sunday evening. Okay, let me get back to this. Now, let me tell you why I'm mentioning that. Well, I have a few friends that I bicycle with. We do pretty long-distance biking, you know, anywhere between 20 miles and 100 miles or 200 miles or whatever we do that day. And I'm getting kind of older. It does hurt my knees and the whole bit. And I do find it a lot more strenuous. I exert myself a lot more today than I did when I was young. But we still go, and they're nice fellas and the whole bit. We have a lot of fun. But the other night, we got together to have something to eat over a sandwich shop. And one of the bikers says, well, I finally heard someone take a stand that I agree with. And I said, what's that, Al? And he said, somebody in Australia, and I have prime minister or someone, some official in Australia, he really didn't know, said that if you don't like our religion, if you don't like our, don't speak our language, oh no, if you don't adhere to our religion, you don't speak our language, and you don't like our form of government or something like that, you know, you can get out. And he says, that's what we should do. And I looked at him, I said, you know, we have got to think a little bit deeper than that. At first, I didn't say anything. I was quiet for a long time because he went on to explaining that stuff. And I said, fine, that made absolutely no sense to me. I said, he said, that'll fix the immigration problem. I said, now, you know, the immigration problem to me is noise. That's not the problem. Absolutely not the problem. Immigration is not a problem. We need the immigrants. Here is the core problem, the very core problem, but there's many other, let's say, subsets of this core problem, like how we treat, how the government permits these people to take advantage of our system, and the government allows that, which causes more problems. It's almost like, you know, a person has a kid on drugs and they give him money every day. Well, as my kid, I got to give money, buys drugs. I mean, this is what the government does. I mean, but let's get away from that. Let's look at the very core problem. We send troops all over the world. We have troops in 173 nations out of 193. Could you imagine that? And we're paying for it, ladies and gentlemen. This is not free. We are paying for that. And in most of those countries, we are propping up despots. We are propping up people who are committing genocide against their own people. But yet, they do what we say. And when they don't, we get rid of them, just like Saddam Hussein. We're an empire gone amok around the world. Now, here's my point with immigration. You said, well, geez, Joey, you really got away from immigration issue. Would you please come back? I'm going to do that right now. If it was our vision, our mission in the world to be in every nation, to make sure everyone had the right, the proper form of government so people can live in liberty and freedom and peace and have a rule of law, which they don't, we prop up dictators. But if that was our mission, if we said that's our mission, how come we don't have troops in Mexico? Isn't it amazing to I asked him, I said, isn't it amazing that the richest country in the world, the United States, borders one of the poorest nations in the world, Mexico. And we have a free trade agreement with it. Mexico has, in fact, some of the world's richest natural resources. It is an incredibly rich nation. It's got a tremendous workforce willing to work in the hot sun, work day and night. I mean, we could not match them for workforce. We could not match them with natural resources. And yet, the economic situation of Mexico matches that of sub-Saharan Africa. The lowest in the world. Oh, and Mexico is an oil exporter. Now, if you look at that, you say, wait a minute, there's something wrong. If we were to, we are supposed to invade all these countries that are bad, which one would you invade? Would you go 4,000, 5,000 miles away to invade a country to protect oil? No. I mean, all we got to do is drive some trucks, which we do now, right over the Rio Grande and take control of the oil fields in Mexico. We're fine. Why haven't we done that? I'm not suggesting that we do that, don't get me wrong. But when we permit a form of government on our that borders the United States, a repressive form of government that keeps people in abject poverty, people in Mexico, no one in Mexico has access, unless you buy it out of a bottle, access to clean water. We are talking really fundamentals here. There are no jobs, there's no rule of law, there is nothing. And yet we say, our friends, our friendly government in Mexico, hogwash. So when we talk about the immigration issue, is immigration really the problem? Or is it that Mexico is such a horrible place to live in, such a backward country where opportunity is negligible, except for a very select few elite people, just like in all of the other dictatorships around the world, that people are literally dying to leave. There is your problem, ladies and gentlemen. That is the immigration issue, and that's what we should be addressing. Now, if Mexico was not as rich as the United States, but had a rule of law, people had opportunity, sure, there would be some people coming over, and we would be going over there. There would be an exchange. It may not be one for one. It may even be two for one. But right now, it's 1,000 to 1 or 5,000 to one. So we are looking, we do not want to face our government and the corruptness in our own government versus in line with the corruption of the Mexican government, so we say the immigration issue. We do not have an issue with immigration. We have an issue with our federal government and its policies towards other countries and allowing them to be the way they are. We are supporting that form of government. Now, I said, once you're willing to discuss that, then I'll discuss whether or not we should have one religion, one language, and one culture. And let me, he brought up, he says, we have to protect our culture. I said, I think you're right. You're absolutely correct. We should preserve the American culture. He says, well, I'm glad you agree with me. I said, now you'll have to leave. He says, why me? I said, because you are not American Indian. Now, on to our next subject. Anyway, I went off on that tangent. Collectivists truly believe that without government, we cannot help others. It's not possible for individuals to help individuals. We need the collectivism of government to do so. Now, I want to dispel that notion right here and now. A couple of weeks ago, my wife gave me an article from, I think, let me see what magazine this was in. I think it was Reason Magazine. Reason Magazine, actual great publication. And it talked about an organization called Kiva, I guess, K-I-V-A, or Kiva, or Kiva. And it's the website is Kiva, K-I-V-A.org. Kiva, or Kiva, is an umbrella organization that makes micro lending to people in third world countries. This started a long time ago. There's a long history behind this where, and I forgot the gentleman's name who started this, who looked at the abject poverty in sub-Saharan Africa and said, you know, all these people, what these people don't have is they don't have access to financing so they can buy the simple tools they need so that they can be productive. So he started to give loans. We are talking loans, small loans. You know, in America here, we go to loan, we want $50,000, $500,000. Even for a small business, we want $50,000. We are talking about $150 that these people need. And he started giving these loans out. He found out that people became very productive, and they paid their loans back. Bad debts was negligible. You know, less people, and people couldn't skip town because there was no place to skip to. But they really wanted to earn a living. This mushroomed, and now there is an entire underground economy. And when I say underground, under the radar of the government. And it's not big enough for the government to attach any worth to it yet. I'll give you an example. I tried this out, and I'll tell you exactly what I gave. I gave, you can give $25 a minimum. I think a maximum is $200 or something like that. But I gave $25 to two women in my wife's name because she asked me to do it. And one woman is in Kenya. The other one is in Nicaragua. One is in food sales. The total amount that she needs to finance her business, folks, is $400. Isn't that amazing? $400. Now, what they do is they give you an update, a weekly update of, well, they tell you where she's from, everything about the Kenya, for example. Nairobi is the capital, population 32 million. The gross domestic product per capita is $1,000. Poverty line, 50%. Literacy rate is actually 85%. Infant mortality, almost 63%. Life expectancy, less than 45 years. And they give you a picture of what she's doing. And I gave her $25. Another one is a woman in Nicaragua. She has a bakery. Now, she needed a lot of money. Her loan was one of the biggest ones that I've seen on it, and I gave it to anyway. I gave her $25. She was looking for $750. Managua, and she speaks Spanish, population 5 million, a gross domestic product 2,200, poverty line 50%, literacy rate 67%, we're relatively low. Infant mortality, 30 per 1,000. And life expectancy, 70 years. Totally different. So I gave those two plus a $5 donation, so $55. I'm just going to see what's going to happen. Now, obviously, here is a situation where a person, I'm not a business giving, it's out of my own pocket, giving it to someone who is in need of money to finance their business. I am now a financier. I am financing businesses in Kenya and Nicaragua. You know, it makes me feel good. It bypasses all government regulations. It's under the radar. These people get the money directly. The administration fee is minuscule, if anything, and I get a return on my investment. Now, you can't beat that with a stick. And that's the way things should run. I hope I'm going to continue giving to this thing, and I'm going to make some money on the deal, but I'm not doing it for that rather for $25. I'm not going to make much money, even if I doubled my money, you know. And when you think that my wife and I go out to eat, and sometimes it costs us, and I hate to do this, but I mean it costs us $25 to have a simple meal sometimes going out to eat. And yet that $25 would be a substantial portion of their loan request that may take somebody out of poverty, put them in a productive mode, and help the economy of that village. I mean, when you think about it, it is absolutely staggering what that money can do. And this dispels the notion that we've just got to have the federal government involved or else nothing will get done. Now, if the federal government was involved in that, think about it. Where do you think the money would go? It would go to the dictator. What would the dictator do with the money? Would the dictator then say, oh, here, poor lady in this poor village, here's all the money we just collected from the United States? No, it would go into their coffers. And whatever they didn't take personally, they would use to buy weapons to keep control of the people or even to kill their own people. And that's what our government does. Now, the lesson here is no government aid to third world countries. Now I want to bring up a subject. I'm going to come all the way around, and I hope people are not too sick about hearing this. We talk about aid to Israel. Well, what is the difference? We have terrorists in the world wanting to kill us, not because we're free, because we ain't free, ladies and gentlemen, anymore. We are not a free nation. Because we are propping up a military dictatorship there. Well, dictatorship. A military theocracy in Israel. And people hate us for it. Over $3 billion a year. I'd say, if someone wants to give to Israel, sit down and write your check for $25. You see my point? If people were doing it, person on person, because we have relatives there or we are sympathetic to the cause for whatever reason, write your check. Give them your whole check. Give them $10,000, $100,000, $1 million. If you have it, give it to them. But then we wouldn't have terrorists trying to bomb us. Because people all around the world would be doing the same thing. They'd have to bomb the whole world. And most likely they wouldn't get enough money to do anything, which is good. Okay. All right. I'm almost exhausted from screaming. Here's a little postscript. A friend of mine, Jim, who is very active in the 9/11 truth movement, trying to get on an airplane last week, and he's on the no-fly list. Now, this guy is straight as an arrow, family man, has his own little home-based business, you know, where he does consulting and whatever. I mean, this guy is, you know, I should be as good as this guy, you know? I mean, clean as a whistle, no-fly list. Because he is actively involved in the investigation of 9/11. That's the only thing he can think of. He's never been arrested. He's never had a ticket on anything like that. Now, this is government gone amok. Is this the government you want to have your money taken, that you want this government to take your money and given to dictators around the world so they can suppress the people so we can keep control of their natural resources or keep they can permit us to keep an airbase there to do even more harm around the world. Think about it. And look at Kiva, kiva.org, K-I-V-A.org. And if you like it, do make, you know, become an international financier, as I am now, and do some good for the world. All right? Our time is almost up. Yes, it is. We only have a minute and a half. I'm sorry. We did not receive any calls this morning. I hope I can receive some calls during the week. I did have some emails that I didn't answer. We'll do them next Thursday. I'd like to remind you to visit my friend Andy at mytwocentsonline.com, and the two is a numerical two, mytwocentsonline.com, and read some very interesting articles. He parrots a lot of what we talk about here, not intentionally, it's just that we're on the same wavelength. I'm going to try to get Daniel Imperato back on this coming Sunday. I'm not sure if that's possible. If not, I'll have another interview Sunday at 8 o'clock. Most likely, we'll be going at 8 o'clock rather than 8:30 because we're losing our time slot at 8:30. It's too busy at the time, not enough bandwidth. And we're going to talk a little bit about the pursuit of happiness and what that means. All right, at this time, I'm going to play our bumper song. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Or phone in your questions to 903-551-2186. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, and that'll be Sunday at probably 8 p.m., this coming Sunday, stay well, stay tuned. Summer day.